Sunday church. That's the way it ought to be, huh? Yeah. Glory to God. Well, me and Kim, and I know Kevin, Susan, some others got to go this past week. Of course, Brother Moore's mom, Miss Doris, had went home to be with the Lord, and they had services for her last week in Mississippi, where they're from, small town. Everybody knows everybody, and everybody came out. It was a big time, and we were able to be there, and the services were good. Everything went great. Brother Moore said that to let you all know, you here and in Sarasota, that he could feel your prayers. He could feel your prayers. Isn't it good to have a family with you, behind you, underneath you? Glory to God. He could feel your prayers. And he knows that Miss Doris would have been blessed by everything that went on in the visitation and the services. It was a good week. It was a lot of week. And so he had a full week, and so he thought he'd take a day or two and a break and get ready to do faith school this week. Yeah. How many appreciate faith school? Yeah. I appreciate faith school. You know, even if you hadn't been watching it, and say you get a symptom in your body, faith for healing. You know, it's in there. You know, if you'll just look through all it, I don't know how many messages are up there now, but there's lots, and they're in different languages. So if you know somebody that speaks a different language, tell them to look, because there's faith school in different languages up there, and we're getting testimonies all the time, and we're seeing good things going on in faith school. So believe God this week as he does faith school. It's going to be good. Amen. How many believe God could do something, show us all something new in faith? You think you got it all? I'm pretty sure I don't. Every time I look, I see something new. God, the Word is living and active. And God never, He is beyond. He's infinite, eternal. Everything He's got goes on. So, amen? Glory to God. Well, open your Bibles up to Matthew 5:8. We'll start there. I was looking at, God seems to deal with me, and probably the way He deals with everybody, but everything He does is through your heart. Amen. Everything that God, when He saved you, what do you say? Come into my heart. And so when He saves us, He comes into our life and into our heart. And what He works through, when you have faith in your heart. When you believe God, when you love somebody, you love them from your heart. Amen? Amen. And so the heart of a man, and I'm not talking about your physical blood pump, although He'll heal that as well. But your heart is where God deals with you and through you. And so it is an important part of your walk with God. The condition of your heart. I mean, in Proverbs, He said, guard your heart. He said, keep it. Why? Because out of it flow the issues of life. What you're getting ready to do and say is going to come out of your heart, regardless of what it is, unfortunately. Anybody ever had some stuff come out of their heart that you wish didn't? Well, the good news is we don't have to be that way. Our heart, when we're born again, is made new. Our heart is cleaned up and it's made new and it's fixed, if you will. It's fixed because before you were saved, your heart was broken. When sin entered the world and it separated us from God through Adam, then it separated us. And what it literally did was it took our heart away from His heart. And they were one at one time. And when Jesus came, He brought them back to one. He brought peace. Amen. And He made your heart strong again. Amen. And Matthew 5:8 is a verse I quote a lot because, you know, a lot of people think this is about going to heaven. This is about seeing God. Your vision of God is going to be the vision that's in your heart. What you have in your heart about God, how you see Him. And if your heart is clogged up with junk from the world and envy and strife and covetousness. You know, all these things are trying to get to your heart. They're contending for the faith in your heart. They're contending for the love in your heart. And God says, blessed are the pure in heart. Blessed are those who have a clean heart. For they can see God. They shall, they must, they will see God. What will they see? They'll see love. They'll see love. Amen? But how many know that if, when you look at things wrong, when you've got things in your heart that are messing your vision up of God, then, and people say, well, is it just thinking wrong things about God? No, it's thinking wrong things. Right? You can't, Jesus said it, it's in James, we'll go over it later, but you can't put sweet water and bitter water in the same place. Amen? So you get a little bitter water or something unclean in your clean heart, it will affect your vision. It will affect how you see God. It'll affect how you hear from God. And it's important that we see Him with a clean heart. We see Him with a pure heart, because then we see the God of love. We see the God of mercy. We see the God that's not partial to, He loves everybody the same. See, as humans, we look around, we're very partial. You know, sometimes we're so partial when a new person comes in that they don't feel at home because you're so partial to all the old people. We can't be that way.
That's right.
Every person's a God person. Yeah. Right? They are or can be the next child of God. And that's what we're looking. We want to see God and see like God. Yeah. Amen? But the condition of our heart is going to affect everything we do. Look at Luke 4:18. I think it's 4:18. Yeah. It says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. And a lot of people say, yeah, I've been hurt. Hurt is one way a heart's broken. The other way, Jesus came to put our hearts back in order so that we could be like the Father again. We could love like God loves. We could have peace and joy like God has. We could now have the abilities that the heart was created to have. When God created the heart in man and put a heart, it created it in His image. The heart thought like Him, it saw like Him, it heard like Him. So you don't hear through these things, you hear through your heart. You know, there's lots of times, that's why I tell people, if you really want somebody to know what you're saying, don't text them or email them. Because they can't hear your heart in that, and they may hear from their heart and completely distort what you just said. That's why it's so important to have a clean heart when you're studying the Word of God, when you're looking for something from God. Because if your heart's not right, you'll hear something and you'll distort what God said. Amen? God's good. That's why He said in James, He said, I'm good. Every good gift is from me, and there is no instability in me. No variableness of changing. Right? He's not going to change. He's completely stable. And that's what He did to our heart when He fixed it. When he healed the brokenhearted, He fixed our unstable heart and He gave it the ability to be stable, to receive and give and do things that it couldn't do without Him. Amen? It says in His Word, He came in and by the blood of Jesus we were redeemed, even the forgiveness of sins. God forgives sins. That's love. He put that in us now. He put that same ability in us, the ability to forgive. If you don't use that ability, then your heart's not right. Your heart's not right. Go to Isaiah 61, because it's actually where Jesus read this verse out of when He did it. Isaiah 61:1. Says, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because He has anointed me to preach the good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted. Now in the Old Testament, that word brokenhearted has a word that it means is called double-hearted. Double-hearted. What's He saying? He came to take what had been separated and bring it back as one. In other words, he came to take your heart and to bind it back to him, to bind it back to the Lord, to bring it back to where it could do what it was created to do. Our hearts are created by God to love one another. They're created by God to bring peace and joy. They're created by God to create and produce goodness. Amen? They're not created to do bad things, but the devil knows that if he can get your mouth and your heart working together, he can produce evil on this earth. Amen? Amen? Because why? Because your heart double is unstable. Your heart single is stable. Yeah. Amen? God brings stability. He brings stability to everything he does. We'll get an example here. Look at Mark 11, verse that we're well aware of in our faith circles, right? Mark 11, 22. Jesus said, have faith in God. What's he saying? He said, he's talking about he went and he cursed the fig tree. They went away. They came. Do you notice that he wasn't concerned? He never talked about the fig tree after he left. He didn't. You know, sometimes we pray and we command something and we walk away and say, man, I hope that happens. Did it happen yet? I hope that happens. That's corrupted faith. Why? Because there's unbelief slipping in there. He wasn't concerned. Why? His faith was stable because his heart was trusting in God. Yes. It wasn't trusting in what he said. It was trusting in the God that told him to say it and how to say it. Amen. And so he didn't walk away concerned, because if he'd have looked back, the tree looked good. Right? It's a good lesson, because when you say something in faith, it may not look like there was any change at the moment, but wait a day, right? And he didn't say it because God didn't tell him to, but if he'd have said, produce fruit, it wouldn't have produced fruit right there. Why? Because there's a law in place that says it has to do this, and it wasn't even the time of figs. So he said, no man eat fruit of you again forever. So what happened is the root died. But the tree still looked good. Amen? Sometimes when you're believing God for something, it may take more than a minute. Right? I know that I like my food quick. Right? And sometimes I'd rather use the microwave than the oven. But the oven sometimes make it taste better.
Yeah, for sure.
And of course, my wife says it's better for you. So I'm not going to argue with her. Amen? But then he goes on, he says, verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, who's the whosoever? The one that's in faith, that has faith in God. He can say unto the mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast in the sea, and shall not doubt. And the Lord stopped me on that word doubt again, because so many times we think doubt just means doubting he will do it, doubting he can do it, doubting he did do it. Doubt is anything that contends for your faith. Did you know that strife contends for your faith? It opposes your faith. If you're bitter and you're mad and you're unforgiving, think about these verses as I'm talking, because we're going to go to them. Then these are the things that are contending for your faith. And God's saying, you can't have this in your heart and say this with your mouth and get this. But you cannot have this in your heart, say this with your mouth, and it shall be so. But the devil is trying to always put things in us that will contend for our faith. It will contend against our faith. He wants us not to believe purely. Because when you believe God out of a pure heart, you're getting ready to have what you believe. Why? Because you're not looking for anything else. You're not looking to anything else. Jesus believed what he said out of a pure heart. He had no doubt that that was going to happen. He had nothing contending against his faith. He had forgiven everybody. He was getting ready to go to the cross so that everybody could be forgiven. Amen? And the Lord said, don't doubt in your heart, but believe the things that you say will come to pass, and you shall have whatsoever you sayeth. And then he says, then he goes to the next one. He says, therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire. We'll come back to that, but that's important. How many know that your desires come from your heart? So with a clean heart, you have clean desires. Right? We want to keep our heart clean. We want to keep our heart pure. We want to keep our heart with God ability in it all the time. And nothing corrupted. Nothing corrupted. Nothing unstable. You know what rain is in a stable atmosphere? Rain. You know what rain is in an unstable atmosphere? Destruction. Amen? Rain's good. Instability bad. Right? God is stable. God is, he's not changing. There's no variableness in him, and he's merciful. And these are the things that he put in us. He said, when you have a double-minded heart or a double heart, you have instability. You have partiality. You have judgment. You have, what's he saying? He's saying it's not just that you're thinking two things. It's that you got other things in there that can't mix with what I put in there. When you mix my word into yours, into what you have in your heart, if it's not good, then you now have no good word in you. You have to get rid of the bad. He says in Ephesians, I think Rob read it, he says, rid yourself of malice and anger. And if you go to, I think it's in Ephesians. What's he saying? You rid yourself. He didn't say, I'll rid you of. He said, you rid yourself. Put away these things. There's things we have to put away. We cannot allow into our lives. They're unstable and they will cause your faith to be unstable. Amen? And he said, therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, ask for when you pray, believe you receive them and you shall have them. And when you stand praying, he's dealing with your heart again right now. What's he saying? He said, when you stand praying, forgive if you have anything against anyone. That's what ought is. Anything against anyone. And what's he saying there? He said, you need to use your heart that's clean to do the very thing I used my heart for. Because when you say I can't forgive, then you are refusing to give the very thing that enabled you to pray and ask for what you desire. You're refusing to give it to someone else. Amen? When we refuse to forgive, when we refuse to let go of something, when we grab hold of something and get hurt or offended, and we refuse to put it away, then we keep it. And so when the things that God come into, it corrupts the things of God. Bitter water and sweet water, doesn't matter how sweet the water is, how much bitter water you want in it. How much junk do you want to mix with God's Word and expect God's Word to work? Because God's Word won't work with your junk in it. Amen? We have the ability to flesh out. You can flesh out all day long. Right? You can get mad at everybody and everything. You ever started a day like that? I know none of you have. Years and years and years, man, back before I can't even hardly remember how long it was ago it was. But I might get up in the morning and one bad thing happens. Oh, it's going to be one of those days. Right? What did I just do? Let something in my heart. And then the next thing that happens, oh, it's just going from bad to worse. Huh? I don't think I'll see one good thing happen today. Right? And then somebody says something, I don't like them. And if God told you to tell them about Jesus right now, you couldn't hear him. Why? Because you don't care if they know about Jesus right now. Why? Because your heart's in the wrong place. Even though you know everybody needs Jesus, you also know you don't like them right now. You got two things you know, and one is keeping the truth from being truth. It's making the truth a lie. And it's not, and the truth is never a lie. It says we turn the truth of God into a lie. And that's not what it is. Amen? And so what we're trying to do is keep our heart clean. Because what's he saying? That's what he's telling you. That this goes all the way back up to don't doubt. Don't doubt. Don't let unforgiveness contend with your faith. Because it will. If you're in unforgiveness, you will not have confidence. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. The substance means it is the foundation. Faith is the foundation, the concrete that your hope sits on. And if you take that out, if you make that unstable, your faith will you no longer have hope. Your hope has nothing to be founded on. Amen? And so you've gotta keep your heart clean. You can't let these things make you waver. The word doubt is the same word for waver. And it's the same word for contend. So you could literally say, if you don't contend in your heart, if you don't let something else contend for what you're believing. And then he goes all the way down and he talks about forgiveness. Because why? Because forgiveness is stable. It's love. It's God. When you forgive and you use your heart, you begin to use the things of God to do things that God does. That's what a fixed heart does. A heart that's been broken and continues to let itself be broken. You know, people say we're broken people. No, we're fixed people. Broken people can't do what God does. Fixed people can. Amen. Amen. We're fixed people. We've been fixed by the blood of Jesus. We've been made whole by the blood of Jesus. The mountain you can now talk to is that mountain of unforgiveness that you held on to for years. And I say unto you, for unforgiveness, go and be cast into the sea that I never see you again. Offense, unforgiveness, hurt, covetousness, envy. These are all things that your flesh will do if you just let it. And it will get in your heart and it will contend for the faith that's in you. It will oppose you. And when you're being opposed, your faith's not clean. Why? Because you can't be confident. You're unstable. Do you know if you can't believe everything you say, you can't believe anything you say? Right. And I know people don't like that, but God was talking to me when he said it. He said, an unstable man, you can't trust him. And when we're talking junk, we're unstable. And when we clean our heart, it's not hard. People say, oh man, I'm never going to get a hold of this faith thing. Sure you are. He will clean your heart in a moment. Lord, forgive me. For being unforgiving. Forgive me for coveting. Forgive me. I cast these things down in Jesus' name. And I speak to the mountain. Amen. Glory to God. It's not hard. People make it sound like it's a long, drawn out affair. It takes as long to get saved, saved as it does to get healed. It takes as long for that salvation to take root. The use of salvation is in you. Salvation is something you have and are now. You are saved. And now you have the ability not only to go to heaven, not only to be healed, but you have the ability to bring peace, to love, to be clean, to be pure. You can now have a pure heart. Before you were saved, you could not have a pure heart. And you could not see God. Amen? God wants us to see him right. He wants us to see him through a clean heart, through a fixed heart, through not a broken heart. When you get hurt, that's the devil trying to put something in you. Why? Because forgiven people and forgiving people don't get hurt. If somebody does something to you and you're forgiving, that doesn't mean you have to work up forgiveness. It means you're a forgiving. You're just like Jesus. He had already forgiven all those people. Right? If he hadn't, why would he kept going? No reason. And when he forgave them, he forgave you and me before we were ever born. Forgiveness is an ongoing work. And we have it in us. It's an ongoing work. If somebody hurts you, it's because you quit forgiving for a minute. You can't be hurt if you're forgiving. Right? They say something bad about you and you're just forgiving. Oh, Lord, I love them. Instead of, man, I hate them, Lord. Why'd you bring them to me today? Anybody else would have been great. But them? I can't love them. what person are we willing to go to hell? And the only time you are is when your heart's not right. When your heart's right, you look at the world and you look at it like Jesus, and you don't say, oh my gosh, what's wrong with those people? You say, they need a shepherd and I know him. Amen? The love of God that comes into your heart now that it's clean is now what you're operating out of. Amen? And you're beginning to get things by faith. The things you ask for, you now get, and they're clean. What if you get the best thing God had and you put it right in the middle of envy? It's not the best thing God had anymore. Amen? That's why God cleaned your heart. That's why he took away your sins. Amen? And a right heart won't remember. You know, people say, man, I got to go back and try to remember everybody I haven't forgiven. If you don't remember, haven't you forgiven? That's how God forgave us. He said, I'll remember their sins and iniquity no more. Don't go back and try to remember it. If it comes up, forget it. There's things you don't need to remember.
That's right.
Amen? People say, well, you don't know how he talked to me, talked down to me, he said this about me. It doesn't matter what he said. It doesn't matter what they say. You forgave them before they said it. Amen? We are in a constant state of love. And if we're in a constant state of love, we are in a constant state of forgiveness. We are in a constant state of joy. We are in a constant state of peace. We are in a constant state of, let me tell you about my Jesus. Amen? You don't change with the moment. Because why? Because what you're asking for now is a right desire. That's why he said, when you stand praying, whatsoever things you desire, comma, whatsoever things you desire. What's he saying? Make sure your desires are right. If you got the right heart, no doubt in your heart, your desires are right. Amen? When we try to pray for somebody that we're offended with, or let me rephrase that. What if you try to pray for somebody you're not offended with, but you're offended with five other people over here? Right? It's going to affect your prayer. It's going to affect your prayer because sweet water and bitter water are now flowing out of the same mouth. Out of the same mouth, sweet water and bitter water are now coming. Why? Because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So what's in there is coming out. Amen? We don't want both to come out. When you got to get rid of the bitter water. Amen? And let in the sweet water so that when somebody needs prayer or comes to you and when he needs counsel, then you have the right kind of wisdom. Go to James. Go to James. James 1. Lord's helping us today. Thank you, Lord. When he started showing me this yesterday, I thought I had a message, and about noon yesterday he starts showing me this. I'm like, what? I'm like, Lord, that's big. And I kept looking at him like, it's bigger. And I kept looking at him like, it's not getting smaller. There's no end. Why? Because everything, every issue of life flows from your heart. So it's not going to get smaller. It's going to get bigger. Our capacity to believe, our capacity to receive, and our capacity to give all come from our heart. And with that heart in the right condition, healed by Jesus. He came to heal the brokenhearted. So now when you're saved, you have a healed heart. You have a healed heart, a heart now that can love again. Glory to God. Before you were saved, you didn't have a heart that could love. You didn't have a heart that could forgive. You didn't have a heart to help people. You didn't have a heart. Everything you did was selfishly motivated. Even if you helped something, it was so you could tell somebody you helped them.
Yeah.
Look how good I am. Man, put my name on that stadium. Oh. I want them to know that I gave all that money. We without God are selfish.
Yeah. Yeah.
Amen? We without God are not going to do good things. You don't have any good in you without God. Amen? But with God, Paul said, I'm convinced. He was writing a letter and he said, I'm convinced you're full of his goodness. Glory to God. What a confession over you. Every morning we should wake up and say, Lord, I'm convinced that I'm full of your goodness. If you're full of something, you don't have room for any more of that junk. Amen. Don't put things in your eyes and ears that'll allow that junk in. You ever notice when you watch just the wrong things, you can feel yourself getting irritated? You're letting stuff in. You're letting stuff in. And then you're going to walk out the door with that stuff in there. You don't want that stuff in there. Did I say go to James? James 1, 5. It says, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God. Who do you ask for wisdom? What kind of wisdom will you get if God gives it to you? Godly wisdom. Good wisdom. Right? You'll get wisdom if you ask God. You'll get godly wisdom. Amen? Who gives to all men liberally and abradeth not, and it shall be given to him. And then he goes on. He says, but let him ask in faith. Nothing wavering, same word as doubt, no doubting, nothing in him contending against what he's asking for. Nothing in him that will confuse the wisdom I give. Because if I give him wisdom and he's got envy and bitter and strife and I give him wisdom, now it's not my wisdom anymore. Amen? What's he saying? He's saying the things in your heart are going to affect what you get. Or affect if you get anything at all. Because in the very next verse he said, let him ask in faith. Because he that, let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, contending against. For he that's wavereth is like the wave of the sea, driven by the wind and tossed. What's he saying? He changes all the time. In other words, one of the words that I looked up for that was unfaithful. Somebody who wavers is unfaithful. And you don't want to be unfaithful. And somebody who wavers is judgmental. Right? People say, no, that's, you know, you're just moving from side to side. No, you're judging. How are you moving from one to side? You're judging and asking for mercy. That is a perfect example of wavering. Lord, save me, but send them to hell. Right? That's not okay. What are you saying? The love in your heart that to receive is messed up by the anti-love to give. How are you going to receive mercy and show judgment? God said it wouldn't work in the book of Romans. He said you can't do both. Amen? Glory to God. He said he's like the wave of the sea and, driven by the wind and tossed. Let not that man think he shall receive anything of the Lord. He didn't say let not that man think he won't receive anything. He said let that man not think he'll receive anything of the Lord. And then he goes on to say a double-minded man is unstable, completely full of instability. What's instability caused in the rain? Storms. If you're full of instability, it won't matter what good goes in because you're getting ready to mess it up. When we pray against the weather, we speak peace. Why? Peace is set at one again. It's stability. Peace is the most stable. It is the only stable thing in the universe because it's God's and it's born out of love. And that peace is in us. So when we pray over weather, we speak peace to it, but we also, the wind's blowing too hard. Peace to that wind in Jesus' name. Stability to the air. Stability to the air. And in your heart, you need that same. When you feel yourself getting bitter or angry or hurt or mad or depressed, depression is the most unstable the most unstable, selfish thing in the universe. It is devilish. And if you've ever just been a little bit sad, not even really dealt with depression, and let your mind go a little bit, you can see how the devil talks you into believing it. Well, they just didn't treat you right. You're right. They didn't treat me right. You know, they didn't treat you right, and they're still not, they're talking bad about you, and this didn't happen for you, or you believe God, and that didn't happen. God was not on your side. And the next thing you know, you're so down and depressed, you can't hear from God. You're hearing from the wisdom of the devil. Amen? And you cannot hear from God out of a heart like that. You cannot hear correctly from, it'd be like he sent you a text and you totally misread it. He said, I love you, and you put an if on the end of it. Mm-hmm. Amen? God wants us with a clean heart to come to him and ask and receive of his wisdom. And receive of the wisdom he has. And when you put it in that clean heart, then you begin, you've received it clean, sweet. You give it clean and sweet. Amen? Because what you receive in a clean heart now can be given out of a pure heart. Amen? So you keep looking at James. He said, a double-minded man. A double-minded man. He's unstable in all his ways. He cannot sustain anything. And he's moved by everything. And that word unstable, it means inconsistent. A Christian should be consistent. You know, if somebody says, why are you so happy all the time? Just say, I'm consistent. You know, why do you always talk about God? I'm consistent. Why do you love people that don't deserve to be loved? I'm consistent. Aren't you glad that God's consistent? Because he loved us when we weren't worth loving. Amen. And he made us worth loving.
Thank you, Lord.
So that he could love through us. Glory to God. Glory to God. Consistency is when we become inconsistent is when we allow other things besides him in us, besides his love, besides his goodness, besides what he says. When it's not just about having the word in you, it's about having only the word in you. Amen. Amen? It's like Brother Moore uses the glass of milk, and you put it under the faucet and you start running water in it, and it's still white, but it's water. I won't drink that water. Right? But if you keep putting it in, if you keep putting in goodness and love and mercy and kindness, you keep putting it in, eventually all that other will be out. Why? Because you'll be full of goodness. And just like him, you'll be full of mercy, slow to anger, forgiving. When we see the things about God, we shouldn't say, man, isn't he amazing? We should say, I have that ability. Yes. Mm-hmm. Amen? Yes. When we look at God, because sometimes I look at, you know, not anymore, long, long, long time ago. I look at people and I'm like, God, you're amazing. Because I'm thinking, you love them. And that is amazing. But what I should be saying is, God, you're amazing because I love them. I want good for them. I want to see them born again and raised up and taken out of all their problems and brought to the kingdom of God and set on the right hand just like I am. Amen? Amen? Glory to God. He says, a double-minded man. What's he saying? Somebody that lets more than one thing control them. Right? God can't control you and you control you. Right? His word will take care of you. People say, well, it says no man can tame the tongue. Nope. You're right. No man can. But the word of God can. You put enough word in you, what's it say? Out of the abundance of the heart, your mouth will speak. And if you put only those things that are God in you, then your mouth will begin to speak only the things that God says, only the things that God sees, only the things that God tells you. You'll no longer be driven by what you see. Right? You know, it's like asking somebody when they say, I need prayer for this, and you say, well, tell me what you did. Why do you need to know what you did? You're going to corrupt your prayer. What if it's something you can't deal with? You don't need, they didn't ask you to listen to their story. And if you're asking somebody for prayer, you don't need to tell them your story.
Right.
Say, I need forgiveness. Right? I want to be healed. Right? The blind man didn't tell him why he was blind. Told him he wanted his sight. Right? He never asked anybody their problem. He asked them the solutions. And in our hearts, that's what we want to hear. What do you want? What do you want? What can I pray for you for? You don't need to know why they're in the situation they're in. You know why they are? Because they're just like you. They're just like me. That's how we all... Ever been in a situation? Anybody in here ever been in a situation? I've been in situations, and guess how I got there? With my own two feet and with my heart.
That's it.
I ain't blaming anybody else. I'm not... No, they led me astray. If I just hadn't listened to them. God, that wife that you gave me. We are an unstable, fleshy mess without the Lord. With the Lord, you are stable, secure, fully assured, full of peace, full of goodness, full of mercy, full of kindness. You are just like your Father. Glory to God. Glory to God. And he says, but even if you go back to that, he says, with the tongue. You know what? Let's just go to that verse, actually. It's in James 3, 8. Let's go around there. It says, but the tongue no man can tame. It's an unruly evil. You know what that word unruly means? Unstable. Your tongue is an unstable evil without God. No man can tame it. God puts a bridle in it and says, I'm going to take it where I want it to go. Huh? You know what? You can ride that horse without the bridle, and you can be bucked off, right? And you can not turn when you want to turn, and you can hit tree limbs and everything else, or you can put the bridle in his mouth. And you can say, go this way, stop, right? And that's what God says. He says, I'll put a bridle in that mouth and I'll use it for good. I'll get you where you're going and take people with you. Glory to God. Why? Because if he can get rid of the instability, it's useful. A saved tongue, a tongue full of the word of the Lord without any bitter water, it speaks the wisdom of God. That's the person you want to ask for counsel. Amen? It says, the tongue can no man tame. It's an unruly evil full of deadly poison. What's it full of? Not God's word. It's full of deadly poison. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith we curse men. See, that's just what I was talking about earlier. Who are His. He made them. We're cursing the very creation that He made. And you could say it another way. You're not loving the very people He loves. Amen? Because with the tongue, you can love or you can hate. But you can't do both. You can't do both. You know, one of the greatest words I see for faith is fidelity. That's one of the words when you look it up in the Strong's Concordance for faith. In other words, singleness. Faithfulness to one thing. Faithfulness to one person. What did he say? Have fidelity in God.
Yes, sir.
Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. The tongue no man can tame. Out of the same mouth proceeds blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not be so. What's he saying? He's saying, this doesn't have to be this way. But he just said no man can tame. He didn't say get man to tame it. He didn't say get man to tame it. He says, clean your heart. You know what we're still looking at in chapter 3? This is why this got so big. I started reading the book of James. It doesn't quit. Right? It is a letter. It was not written in chapter and verse. And when he started with, if any of you lack wisdom, he's still talking about that in chapter 3. And I can prove it. In chapter 3, he's talking about it right now when he's talking about your tongue. He's saying, don't use ungodly wisdom. Use godly wisdom. Let godly wisdom. But how do you get to one or the other? Amen. And he says, this ought not be so. And then go down to verse 13. He says, who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show it out of a good conversation, his works with meekness of wisdom. What's he saying? He's saying, if you're really wise, it'll show by your good conversation and behavior. Right? What's he saying? Good things will come out of you. If you're wise, good things will come out of you. In the very next verse, he says, but if you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts. What's he saying? If you've let something in your heart like that, and you're asking for wisdom, you may get it, but you won't get it from the Lord. There's two kinds of wisdom, right? We're getting ready to read about them. And what's he saying? He's saying, if you got bitter envying and strife in your heart, he says, in other words, what's it doing? It's something that's contending against the truth. If you've got these contentions in your heart and you're trying to speak truth, it will not come out as truth. It will not come out as wise counsel. It will not come out right. Because why? You've got bitter envying and strife in your heart. Amen. You can't have bitter envying and strife in your heart, because where those are, it says, and glory not and lie not against the truth. In other words, don't talk because you're getting ready to say something contrary to what's true. Amen. And he says, you can't talk out of a bitter and envying heart, wisdom of God. Wisdom of God will not come from those things. If you want to speak wisdom of God, bitter envy and strife can't be in there. And then he even goes on, he says, this wisdom, what wisdom? The wisdom that comes from bitter envy and strife in your heart. It's devilish. What? It does not descend from above. What descends from above? Every good and perfect gift comes down from above, the Father of lights. How many lights I got in here? Yeah, he's your Father. The Father of lights, in whom there is no instability. There's no chance of changing. In other words, there's never going to be bitter envy. He's never going to give you counsel that has bitter envying and strife within it. He's going to give you counsel that does not have bitter envy and strife in it. He's going to give you, if it has bitter envy and strife, then what is it? It's devilish. This wisdom is not from above. It descends, it's earthly, sensual, devilish. In other words, sensual, people say, it comes from your feelings. Well, I just feel like, and you know what's really bad about it? Is it can sound good. The devil will make sure it sounds good. Well, they did treat you bad. God'd probably be okay if you didn't forgive them. Right? Well, forgive them in your heart, but just never talk to them again. Right? Well, what will it do? It'll try to get you to do things that are completely contrary to God. God talks to me right after I've messed up as bad as I've ever messed up. He doesn't judge me first, then talk to me. He talks to me so I can understand. Amen. And so he can correct me and he can love me back onto the right path, going the right direction. He gives me godly wisdom. He doesn't give me bitter envying and strife wisdom, devilish and sensual wisdom. He doesn't give that kind of wisdom. If that kind of wisdom is the wisdom you received when you ask, it was because you had bitter envying and strife in your heart when you ask. And you were unstable. Because a heart that's stable asks right. Amen? I mean, look at what he said when you take communion. Judge yourself. Judge yourself. What's he saying? Make sure your heart's clean. Make sure you're doing it the right way for the right reason. Make sure love is coming out while love is going in. Amen? Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Then he says, where envying and strife are, there is confusion. The word for confusion? Instability. Unstable. Confusion is distorted. It's unstable. And it says in the word that God is not the author of instability. Right. People say, well, the storm came. It must have been God. God authored the rain. Confusion authored the instability. God he destroys nothing. He's not the destroyer. Amen? He's the blesser. He's the blesser. Where envying and strife is, you could literally say it this way, God's not there. What's there? Confusion. What's not there? God. What's there? Instability. What's not there? Love. When you feel unstable, and I know, as Christians, I know we do, it's because we let things affect our life and affect our hearts in ways that we didn't mean to, and sometimes we just were stupid enough to watch it or listen to it or let it happen. Because you know what? You're grown up, you grow up to believe it's okay to be upset with people. Right? I mean, in most of our families, at some point, you've been upset with somebody in your family to the point you didn't talk for a couple of days. Some didn't talk for years. That's unstable. What do they call it in a family when your family's all messed up? Dysfunctional. That's dysfunctional. Why? Why is it dysfunctional? Because families are designed to love one another. And even if somebody quit loving you, you're designed to love them. You're not designed to make them love you. Did you notice that Jesus didn't get on the cross and say, okay, everybody love me now. Right. No, he just showed his love for them.
Thank you, Lord.
Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. This love and this peace and the things that he puts in these hearts that he's fixed is God ability. That God ability is stability. Amen. And everything he puts in us, now we're able to use. In the very next verse, he says, but the wisdom that is from above, what's the first thing it is? Clean. It's clean. It's pure. Right? What's he saying? He said it came from God and it went into a clean heart. It went into a heart full of love. It went into a heart that could receive it. And it went into a heart that would give it without ulterior motive. Without any other reason except it loved you.
Thank you.
Amen? Then it's peaceable. What is it? It's set at one again. It's not over here and over here and over there and over there. It's full of the peace of God. It has a oneness with God. In other words, it will never be contrary to what God said. It will never distort God's word. What's it do? It enhances God's word. Amen? It enhances God's word. It enhances God's characteristics. It's peaceable. It's gentle, just like the Father. It doesn't go up to him, stop that, you're a sinner and you're going to hell. That is not gentle. There may be a time when you got to do that. Don't get me wrong. Save some, pull him out of the fire. But it's gentle. Gentle. It's a new word. It's gentle. It's easy to be approached. It's easy to be talked to. Even if you go to God with the dumbest question, the dumbest thing you've ever done, he's going to be so easy to approach. And he's going to be so kind and so loving and so ready to help you. Easily entreated. Full of mercy, not half mercy, full of mercy. What's he saying? It doesn't judge. It doesn't show partiality. It doesn't say, well, give them that, but don't give them that. What did he say? He said, save them and save them. You know, let's save them all.
Amen.
Why? Because he loves everybody. He couldn't stop. He couldn't have just saved his, he couldn't have just saved Israel. Because why? Because he loved everybody.
Right.
And he said, I'm going to save everybody through one man. Glory to God. That is wisdom of God. That's the wisdom that will take you to another place. That's the wisdom that will give you something to say. Amen? And it's the wisdom that will give you something to say that will help people. It's the wisdom that comes out of a forgiving heart. Amen? Wisdom that comes out of a forgiving heart is godly wisdom. It's just like this. It's full of mercy. It produces good fruit. No partiality and no hypocrisy. Glory to God. That's the wisdom that you get when your heart's clean. Not devilish and sensual. Gentle and kind. Amen? Not all over the place. You know it's not God when you start talking to somebody and say, well, you could do this, but you might want to do this, but I don't know why you did this. And you're all over the place. God got one word. It's just the truth. Brother Copeland's been saying it for years. One word from God would change your life forever. Amen? And that we don't need to be all over the place. We don't want to be. He's not the author of confusion and instability. He's the author of stability. He is the author of, I'll fix your heart. I'll fix your life. I'll show you where to walk. I'll show you what to do. I'll show you how to do it. I'll give you a heart that wants to do it. Glory to God. And when you want to for the right reasons, and you're going for the right reasons, and your heart is pure, you begin to see people like God sees people. You begin to see situations like God sees situations. You begin to quit saying, I don't know why they do that, and say, I wonder if they thought this. It's not right, but they might, maybe they just thought this way for a minute. We can fix that. With God, everything can be fixed. Why? Because He fixed everything. You'll never come up to a situation with godly wisdom and say, wow, that's beyond me. It's never beyond you when you have godly wisdom. It's never beyond you. He may just say, smile at him, give him a hug, and remind him I love him. What better medicine than that? Glory to God. Glory to God. So, you know, I think David, or this one of the psalmists, wrote it in Psalm 51. And, you know, I've read it many times, and I thought, well, God doesn't take the Holy Spirit from you. But no, He doesn't, but you can sure grieve the Holy Spirit, can't you? Amen? There's nothing in the Bible that's wrong. And he said, create in me a clean heart. What's he saying? David was literally saying, fix my heart where you can use it, where you can dwell in it, where you can dwell through it, where you can love people through it, where you can love me. Fix my heart. Fix my heart. Create in me a clean heart. Renew a right spirit. What do you have to do first? Create in you a clean heart. Then He can renew a right spirit in you. Clean heart, right spirit. Right? When you got a clean heart, what comes out of you is godly wisdom. When you don't, it's ungodly wisdom. Clean heart, right spirit. Renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence, O Lord. Take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me. Here's the joy of your salvation. It's not just that you're going to heaven. It's not just that your body's healed. It's that He fixed your heart in such a way that everything you see Him do, you have that ability in you. That's what salvation did for you. It put a forgiveness in you that cannot be overcome by the greatest of sins. If you'll humble yourself and you say, I just can't forgive, He'll give you more grace. And He'll say, now you can. Why? Because where sin did abound, grace did abound all the more. He said, I know in your heart you didn't think you could do this, but because you humbled yourself and sought me, here's some more grace. Glory to God. Glory to God. The joy of your salvation, the joy of His salvation in you is more than that you're going to heaven one day. It's more than everything He gave in you. It's what He gives out of you. Lord, you're going to use me today. I rejoice in that. You're going to work through me. You're going to love through me. You're going to bring peace in a situation. You're going to give me wisdom to overcome and help others to overcome. Your salvation is great.
Yes, it is.
And I receive it for all that He is, all that you are. He sent His word and He healed us. What did He do? He healed you. You know what your destructions were? Your own mouth. Your own heart, your own mind, your own way. He saved you from all your destructions. Glory to God. He didn't just heal your body. He healed your spirit, soul, and body.
Right.
Now our operations are godly operations. Now our wisdom is godly wisdom. Now what we have to offer is truth. Now what we have to offer is truth spoken in love. And now it can be received the same way you got it. Glory to God. Because we have that godly wisdom in us.
Yes.
Create in me a clean heart. That's our prayer. Every morning. Lord, if there's something in my heart that's blocking you or corrupting anything about you, Lord, I get rid of it right now in Jesus' name. I command you, heart, forgive. Heart, love. I speak unto you. You will
Amen.
Yet praise Him.
Yeah.
You will serve the Lord your God all day long.
Yeah.
And you will do everything that He has enabled you to. Glory to God.
Yeah.
Without changing, without doubting,
yeah.
Without wavering, without confusion, without any of the junk that the world tries to stick in there. It's out of a pure heart, a clean heart. And with that clean heart, glory to God. Glory to God. Stand on your feet with me. Thank you, Lord.